What is your name?
My name is Diana. Diana Johnson.
Diana Johnson.
I'm English.
And you're English, okay. And so you're from Britain. What area are you from?
You call it Britain, I call it England, which
England,
is an
I'm
area
sorry.
Of Britain. No, don't apologise, this is part of the answer. Cambridge, which is in English.
So Britain is an area of England?
Britain is Wales and Scotland and Ireland and England together.
And it shows I don't really know much about that area.
That's Great Britain, and the United Kingdom includes Northern Ireland as well.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so complicated.
So what do you do for a living back at home?
I'm a teacher, and at the same time, because I do two jobs, I'm also a minister.
A minister as well, okay.
The Church of England.
The Church of England?
Yes.
A minister and a teacher, and what
Which
do you
is the equivalent of your Episcopalians.
Okay.
Is it coming up? Do you want to check it?
I think we're probably fine. I'm just double checking.
Okay.
Double check.
Are you?
It's the same as mine.
And what do you teach, or where do you teach, actually?
It's a school, so the children are up to 13.
Okay.
From 4, which is a bit younger than yours.
From 4 to 13?
4 to 13.
Okay.
I don't teach the 4-year-olds, I have to admit that.
Can you not, you don't like being...
I cannot stand them.
I understand that. So.
I teach them when they are continent.
Okay. And what do you teach? You said you taught computer science.
I teach computer science, but in my time at the school, I have also taught science and theology, which is called religious studies, and geography and history as well. So,
so a little bit of everything.
I'm a polymath.
Oh, wow, yes.
All right. Do you
want to
ask?
I see the. Should we start with the seven stages or no? Not yet.
I was gonna get some background information.
Background.
First.
That sounds good.
Tell me a little bit about your family or your life back at home in general. What's your day-to-day life like? Who do you surround yourself with?
Oh, those are big questions.
They are big questions. Okay, yes. So tell me about your family then first.
My family, I live by myself.
Okay. Like having that mentality. And are you connected with any family at all?
I am, yes. I have family who live elsewhere. So I have sister and... Is still a father alive, and various other parts of my family. Yes, yeah, definitely.
Do you have any pets back at home or anything?
No. The place I live is an apartment block, which does not allow pets. We live in a community.
Uh-huh.
You could have a goldfish or a stick insect. But on the other hand, you get passing cats and ducks and the occasional deer and squirrels. So do we need pets? No, we don't. We're in a rural setting. There's plenty of animals around, and they feed themselves and look after themselves.
So if you say you see deer around and stuff, what is the landscape like where you live?
It's a beautifully landscaped garden that lets deer in to eat the flowers.
Oh, they do?
But it's farmland around.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Were we on family?
And we're on the landscape.
Landscape. Sure. Oh, yes. Yes. I think that we could perhaps move on from that.
You said it was like a garden area.
Yes, garden. And I live in. It's a village surrounded by farmland.
Okay. So some of the smells you've been smelling along the Camino are very familiar to
it
you.
It was It was amazingly familiar.
Okay.
And interestingly, the Camino Primitivo, which is the one that I walked, and I think not the one that you walked.
Right.
I remarked to my friends and indeed bored the people at home by saying just how similar it is to Britain.
Because
you had the same species of trees, of undergrowth, the same babbling brooks, the same sort of stony paths. It was just like being in England. It's fantastic.
So the Camino kind of made you feel like you were at home a little bit, in a way?
Yes, the Primitivo did. Yes. Of course, you then came across a Spanish village and it was all different.
Very different.
So,
Can you describe like how the path you took, like where does it start and like where does it lead into, because it leads into the eventually to where we connected, right?
Yes. Correct?
So where does it start?
And it starts in a place called Oviedo, which is a largest cathedral town in the north of Spain, in the flatlands between the mountains and the coast. And it's the capital of Asturias, which is a province of Spain.
Yeah.
And it has a beautiful cathedral. So the start of the walk, it starts at the gates of the cathedral.
Yeah.
Of course, as we know, it ends. So ask me the question again.
Oh, yes. I was just describing the way.
Yes, we were at the cathedral. Yes. Okay, have you pressed it again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. We're ready? You sure?
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you.
So, yes, cathedral start, and then it went up into the hills. I had the first 4 days with my sister, who walked with me, but she had to go back home, which was a shame.
Yes.
But actually, I quite like walking by myself.
Yes.
That's nice.
Mm.
It's much more peaceful. You get to look inward more.
Oh, yeah. A lot of reflection. Mm-hmm. So what was it that made you decide to choose this route over any other ones?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get on to why I'm doing the
thing. Oh, yes,
the
eventually.
Thing, but
yeah.
Eventually. But this particular route in English.
Yeah,
route. I chose because, firstly, you can do it start to finish in 2 weeks, and I didn't want to spend the whole of my summer holiday walking. Secondly, and more importantly, some Dutch friends of mine with whom I've walked long distance walks in the past did it 2 years ago, and they emailed me and said, this is the route that you should do. It is made for you. We know how you walk. And so personal recommendation like that is worth it.
So when did you first hear about this pilgrimage, or when did you first realize that you wanted to go on?
About 5 years ago.
Okay. Mm. What happened 5 years ago?
Mm. What happened 5 years ago is doesn't have a great deal of
relevance,
but for just a bit more than 5 years ago, I transitioned from male to female. Mm. Do you want to put that in? And I suppose that's background, but not the reason for it. But it did. I did find that I was doing quite a few long walks by myself at that time in England, and I developed a taste for it. So about 5 years ago, I discovered I loved walking long distances.
How long of a distance would you walk back at home by yourself?
There's similar distances, 200 or 300 miles.
Really?
Mm. So there are two. I walked what's called the coast to coast walk, which in America would be a bit difficult, but in Britain it's 200 miles. That's okay. Fine.
Back home, what is that? Like almost 3,000?
Yes. you're bigger than me. And there's another one which is a north-south route of about 300 miles called the Pennine Way.
Is that a popular walk for people to do, the coast-to-coast?
The coast-to-coast is very popular.
Okay.
The Pennine Way is more of a mountain walker's.
Much more difficult.
It's a bit more difficult, yes. And it's very boggy.
Yes. So why do people choose to go on the coast-to-coast walk? Is it similar to this, similar reasons that people do it?
No, none of them. There's nothing spiritual about it.
Okay.
Other than being inspired by creation, which is spiritual, yeah. But it's not a religious route at all. This is the first overtly spiritual religious route that I have walked like this, as a pilgrimage. So I called it my pilgrimage, yes. Yeah.
Have you heard of any other pilgrimages other than the Santiago?
Oh yes, I mean you can go to Jerusalem. There are some in Britain. There's the Pilgrim's Way to Canterbury. And there's a what looks like a very interesting one in Norway.
Norway would be interesting.
It would be hilly.
Very hilly, yes.
But it goes as far north as Trondheim.
I don't think it'd be a good one to do. Mutilate that.
Have you always wanted to become a minister? That's what you...
It didn't take me quite the same length of time as the Israelites in the wilderness, but it's taken me 30 years.
What are the reasons why it was so... Is it always a long process, or is it...
It's always fairly long. Very seldom is it that long.
Yes.
I left the army in order to train as a minister, and I did 2 years of training, which is the normal. And then there was a family catastrophe, and I was left looking after two children, and I felt that I couldn't do the training that's required. That it required a year or 3 years as what's called a curate, which is just a trainee vicar. So I did a third year of training, and then became a teacher instead, which enabled me to settle the children, and that was good. It was good because the school actually said, look, you've got theology, would you like to be head of religious studies? So I went straight in as a head of department into this new profession that I'd never done before in my life. And spent the next 15 years teaching religious studies. I did a takeover job on geography and history, so I ended up with an empire building, as you do. And then I transitioned, and that caused a certain trouble with parents and teaching.
Yes.
As you've probably best not to go into too much detail there for litigation reasons.
Oh, yes.
So I stopped teaching and took on a project to set up a virtual learning environment. VLE, do you know those?
Mm-hmm.
Online learning?
Oh, yes.
So I set one of those up in my now not spare time. And as the dust settled on my transition, I've slowly moved back into teaching, but in the computer science side.
So this, the route that you took.
Go on. Yes.
It's called Primitivo.
Primitivo.
How long is that?
That's 200 miles. 300. Yes.
I'm trying to think about how many kilometers that is.
About 300.
300.
Just over. Yes.
Yeah, that's a very long way. It's a very long way.
Well, it's not as long as the Français.
Yes, definitely not. But definitely nothing compared to what we walked. Yeah. We only walked a little over 100 kilometers.
But first time, it's good.
And you said it took you about 2 weeks.
Yes.
To finish. Mm-hmm. And in what ways did you prepare for this walk? Did you buy a lot of things for it, or did you?
No, I'd done it. I'd done walking before.
You've done walking before, right? So
I just have a list, and I get things out.
So what is on your list?
It's 2 pages long.
So but if I were going to come back and walk again, what are the things you absolutely think that a pilgrim should not go without?
Okay. Boots.
Yeah.
That are well broken in and as light as possible. But for the Primitivo, boots, not shoes.
Yes.
Because of the rocks and twisty ankles and things. And I don't think you should underestimate the power of the sun.
Ah, yes.
So, personally, I always walk, whatever the weather, with my arms covered and my legs covered, which keeps the mosquitoes away, the sun off, and stops me being stung by and scratched by all the undergrowth.
Yeah, the last day I got sunburnt. I bought a whole bottle of sunscreen and I didn't put any on. So I'm a little sunburnt now. So you said that your past is the reason why you, not the only reason, but part of the reason why you wanted to start this pilgrimage.
No, the main reason was celebration.
Not for the transition, but directly.
But for being ordained.
For being ordained, that was your celebration. Mm. Okay. So it wasn't a pilgrimage like most other people are doing to find
themselves. No, I wasn't looking for the answer.
You already found the answer. You were just celebrating.
Yes, I didn't have a question.
Oh yes.
So what you've got to do is add that artifact to your report. I'll give you one anyway.
Thank you.
Okay. It's obviously out of date now because it's happened, but this was the event that I was celebrating. Okay.
Thank you.
It's called an Ember card.
Nice.
You can look it up.
I will.
E-M-B-E-R.
Right.
Ember card. Ember days are to do with vocations and ordination.
Okay.
And people send out Ember cards when they're ordained to the levels of deacon, priest, or bishop.
I like it.
Okay.
So,
it was a big deal.
Yes.
It was a big deal.
So, how are you feeling when you first started the trip? Were there any particular emotions that went through your mind?
Well, it had been a big deal. Mm-hmm. A week before the trip. So, I was still on a spiritual high from that. Despite the fact that I was ordained on the Sunday, and at 7 o'clock on the Monday morning I was at my desk at school. Which was a bucket of cold water.
Yes, I bet.
But to be fair, it was the last week of term, and that's always exciting. So it had been a whirl. It was fun. And then I jetted here. So.
But were there any like worries about anything when you first started at all, or you were just mainly excited?
I was excited. I was looking forward to it. I knew from experience that it would take 4 or possibly 5 days before I got into the rhythm of walking. And so it proved. took extra because my sister was talking to me.
Oh yes,
yes. But it was lovely to have her there.
Why did she have to leave?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, she lives a busy life.
She lives a busy life. She didn't want to do it for
ever since she retired. She's got no time.
Okay. So, honest problem. Related question. So, was your sister here to help, like, with the celebration? So, she came with you on the walk to celebrate you being ordained as well, or does she have a separate reason?
She shared a part of the Camino with her partner, who walked the whole thing. Her partner, business partner.
Yes.
They're doctors together. And she walked the last 100 kilometers with him. And I think she wanted to repeat that experience, but no, she was there being there supportive of me.
That's very nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, she's a supportive sort of person. But she was going to enjoy it as well.
Of course. Yes. Oops, sorry.
So you're a family of walkers then?
Yeah.
I guess that was one of my questions, if you were athletic or experienced at all before this trip, but you are experienced, obviously.
I am experienced. I have done athletics all my life. Yes. I do the outdoor things.
See, I was wrong and did not exercise or do anything before this trip, so it definitely weighed on me a little bit.
I didn't exercise at all before this trip, but I knew that I could do it.
Yes. You had done it before, so you knew I had never done anything like this before.
I mean,
so.
I am in decline because I'm getting older, and there will come a day when I do have to think about these things, but I didn't.
And along the road, were there any significant or very memorable experiences that you had with other pilgrims along the way?
Oh, yes, loads. Yeah. That surely is the delight of the Camino, and it's the difference between the Camino and other long walks I've done. Every long walk I've done, there have been people that I've got on with, and I've met some good friends, but I would say that the community of the Camino is a more intentional affair. People expect it to happen, and therefore it does. Yeah. Whereas on other walks, yes, you meet people, and there's a certain practicality about helping one another when you're lost or whatever. And maybe you hit off, and therefore you see them. But it's not as that word intentional, I think, is the one that I would choose to describe the Camino community.
So it was different with this one too. When you did walks back at home, it was mainly people from your own country, correct?
No. The coast to coast first one at the time I did it, it was the Dutch friends.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, it was somebody from my country. I walked it with my sister the second time. I showed her across. But we were meeting mostly British. For the north-south one, the Pennine Way, the boggy one, bizarrely, it was a pair of Tasmanian women.
Strange.
Yes.
Interesting, yeah.
And a curious British man who lived in in hedgerows. And the four of us became a group.
That's
yes,
really nice.
Yes, it's nice. It brings together, people walking I think brings together disparate people, yeah. And this certainly has.
So do you think that the spiritual nature of the Camino is what makes that connection more intentional?
Yes.
I thought maybe.
I think people expect it to, and therefore it happens because they expect it.
Yes.
So you had a lot of experiences, but none stood out in particular. It was just a lot of different.
Within that. Well, the evenings tended to be quite memorable. Large quantities of wine get drunk. there was one particular night when we had 10 nations round a table.
That's really cool. Where was this? Do you remember? the days run together for me, and it was only 6 days.
It was in... well, there is a Spanish name. I tend to translate Spanish names into English. So it was in O Cadaver, as in dead body.
Yeah.
But it was something like Cadaveros or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was people from 10 different nations, and they were all drinking wine together.
They pushed tables together and overwhelmed the kitchen and drank a lot of wine. Yes, yes. And sang songs and recited poetry and put the world to rights. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good time.
It was a very good night. I sang the Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
Wow.
In German.
In German?
Yes.
Of course you did.
Of course, as one does.
As one does. One sings Beethoven.
Oh, yes. But it's also, it was a political statement.
Yeah.
Because it's the unofficial anthem of the European Union.
Oh.
And as a Brexit Brit, that I disagree with Brexit.
Yeah.
I thought I would just show that. So there you go. Freude, Tochter aus Elysium.
So as for the community of the Camino, do you think that the community that's forming the Camino, do you think it's strong enough that people along the Camino kind of like, they don't see as much like social class and like differences between each other because the community is it's bonded by a like spiritual connection. So is that not as important along the Camino, do you think? Did you notice that in any way or? Rewording that. All right. So do you see that the differences in social class along the Camino really matter?
Oh, I see what you're getting at. Yes.
Three.
Should we pause?
Push and play.
With this horrible woman.
Yes.
Who's going to ask first?
Let's see where we're at.
I'll have a discussion. Which one do we press?
Where we stopped, we press the red button.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. For to figure out where we stopped off last.
We were speaking of...
I talked about your most memorable experience on the way.
Yes.
So is that... Did you ask anything
after
that?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it working?
So, good of you to pause while I had my supper. So, in terms of class, the Camino, in one sense, evens out class. And so, people of different backgrounds come together in a way that's wholly positive. There is, nevertheless, a class structure within the Camino. And there's no doubt that some people who stay in albergues all the way along are doing it on the cheap, and others who have their suitcases carried from place to place,
like us,
and and me, and who have who stay in hotels and have their own bathroom. Shower, have a better life, quality of life, mm-hmm. But less access to other people.
Right.
Although you couldn't, I don't think people made a distinction in terms of class. There was definitely a distinction in terms of material circumstances as a result of whether people mostly worked or not. Those that worked, paid the money, got the better deal. There's possibly, I sensed, another distinction, and that is between those who are walking it for religious reasons and those who are walking it for sporting reasons. And although I would hesitate to say that one was a higher or a lower class, they were different. There was a difference, and this was shown at the end when the Compostela was issued.
Oh yeah.
Because you needed to have some sort of religious reason to get your spiritual Compostela, and some people opted only for a certificate of completion and so on. Mm-hmm. And that did seem to inject a difference between people. How's that?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Right.
Yes. I even noticed that when we went to Mass.
That's right.
When we went to that, because there were a couple people in our group that were very religious.
Yes.
So they participated in the Mass and the communion and all of that, and the rest of us just kind of sat there and enjoyed.
Right.
For
yes.
the aesthetic
yes.
purpose of it. But yeah, I definitely noticed that.
Whereas
as well.
I went to Mass and didn't take Mass because I...
Because you're a different religion.
Because I'm a proddy. And I took this out. And I opened my button. And I was thanked by some Roman Catholics for not making a political point. Because apparently, at gatherings of Roman Catholics, those who feel that there should be a greater place for women in the Roman Catholic Church often take over and make it a political point. And they said, you know, if I'd worn that, it would have been seen as a political challenge to the system. Which I thought, that's not the last thing that I was thinking of doing. I just took it out because I thought it would just be easier all around.
You were just being considerate
yes,
in a way.
Yes, right. But they said, actually, thank you very much for doing that. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It does. But that's not to do with the Camino. That's
yes.
Interesting. Anyway, yes. Yeah. So what was your next question? I've taken it out now. I can be rude to people.
So, I know that you were experienced before this, and you were excited and everything like that for this pilgrimage, but was there any suffering or difficulties along
yes.
the way?
So what, no blisters.
No blisters. That's a meat. Good.
That's
very good.
It must be amazing. Usually I do get blisters. I got... some impact damage on my small toes, which hurt. That was a new one. And I've ended up with what in Britain we call shin splints.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw it. Yeah.
Okay, I've got shin splints.
Those are so bad.
And yes. they're not good.
No.
So I'm glad it stopped. And that was only on the last day.
Oh well, that's really good.
So it's fine.
That's, very
that's good.
Good.
So yeah, this is a physical thing, but yeah.
I didn't really have much physical problems back at home, but my knee messed up really bad on the trip.
Yes,
so now
yes.
I have to wear a brace on my knee. I'm wearing one right now.
Because you did have trouble, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't mean
I think
to.
It was mainly the downhill
yes.
parts that messed it up
yes.
pretty bad. But I've never
yeah.
had to do anything like that before, so it was
okay.
Different.
Be nice to your knee. I speak as somebody who's had an operation on her knee
yes,
in
I
my
don't.
60s. Do not have it in your 40s.
I don't. I don't want it to happen.
No, be nice to your knee for the next 20 or 30 years.
I will try. Were there any emotional or mental difficulties along the way, or is mainly just physical? If you want to talk about that.
No. I have not noticed any emotional or mental difficulties.
None of those, okay. That's good.
Have I noticed? No, I've managed to get up each morning. I've looked forward to every day. I can say it's been remarkably even.
I was going to ask if you got homesick, but then you said the landscape was so similar that
I don't get homesick.
Don't get homesick. It's nice to get away from home.
I love my home, but my home is a springboard for living.
Right.
This is living. So,
you go ahead, because I'm writing that quote down.
And that quote down? All right.
Yeah.
should I move on to the next stage? All right. Mm-hmm. So when you finally made it to Santiago, what were some of the feelings you felt? Was it like blissful? Was it like you like?
Well, the first feeling was they put bloody scaffolding all over the cathedral.
Yes. Yes.
Why?
We're all
ugly.
Yeah.
A lot of us were
okay. So there's a feeling. I was pleased to arrive. I was conscious of a sense of achievement as I went into the square. I looked around and thought, yeah, I've done it, that's good. I went and had a cup of coffee. Oh dear, I'm not one of these people who sort of dances around a lot, should be.
Yeah. Oh, bless you. Bless you.
It was. And that's because, in terms of the Camino, it is the process, not the product.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our professors continually told us that it was about the journey, not the
destination.
It's not the arrival. Arrival, quite honestly, is overshadowed by the fact that you're going to go home soon and it's going to come to an end. Mm. And stopping walking is a small bereavement. Because you get used to it, you love it, it's enjoyable. It's, for me, these long walks are meditative.
Yes, they are.
In a way that cycling, driving, flying aircraft, going by train isn't. Because those forms of transport bring the scenery towards you. When you walk, you're in the scenery, and it changes subtly because the pace is so slow that it's not rushing towards you. And in that process, particularly on a long walk, essentially you are walking, eating, sleeping. And that's why it takes 5 days to get into it. But once you're into it, there's a daily rhythm, which is those things. There is a slightly longer meta rhythm, I have found, and that is the time it takes to get into that rhythm. Mm. And then you do tend to sort of go slightly depressed and slightly elated, and you can spot the rhythm, so you know that after 4 days you're in the rhythm, but you're actually starting to get a bit depressed, and after 8 days you're on a high and it's wonderful, and after 12 days you're just getting a bit down a bit. And I know, because I've done 3 weeks, so you go up again, but I didn't on this one.
So you did it on this one? Did you have a lot of ups and downs on this one?
No, just the similar. But yes. They're not high highs, low lows, although I dare say some people do find it.
Mm-hmm.
But mine tend to be gentle, but they are noticeable, because
right.
I I've experienced them before, and it seems to happen the same every time. So it does sometimes get influenced by whether the feet are going well or not. So there are two essentially rhythms: the metta rhythm and the daily rhythm.
Yes.
So how long have you been in? Today was the day you got to Santiago. You got in yesterday.
Yesterday.
You got in yesterday. Okay. Have you gotten anything since you've been here to take back home with you to make the trip, or to have a physical trinket to look at to remember
yes.
the trip?
Yes, I've had not these ones. A pair of earrings.
What are they? What are they?
It's they're silver and gold plated, and it's a road with feet punched through it.
That's pretty interesting.
I should have brought it along, but yeah.
It's jewelry. Did you say it was earrings?
Earrings.
Earrings.
Yes.
Okay.
That's pretty interesting.
So fairly modern design. Not overtly scallops or arrows.
Yes.
A lot of those.
You wanted something.
It's a little more subtle that I can wear for the future, but it does actually mean to me the community.
It means something to you. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So I got that, and I've got some bits for the people too.
And some stuff for people back home.
Yep, and my fridge magnets for my collection. But no, that's I got one thing that I.
Just one thing? Yeah. Nothing to put in your home or anything like that?
Well, the fridge magnets.
You got magnets.
Yeah, I got fridge magnets. Because I get fridge magnets.
So do I. Everywhere I go, I get a magnet to put on the
That's
fridge.
It.
Yeah. What about any spiritual awareness or growth that you're going to take
amazing.
Back with you?
I went into the... Okay. My sister said, because she'd been here before, if you go early to the cathedral, you can whip in and meet St. James' statue without any queues. And I thought, I'll do that. So I went down to the cathedral this morning, and there was the most enormous queue.
Yes.
That came out, not quite that big, but anyway, went past the fountain.
Yes.
And I thought, blow me, they all want to see St. James. So I joined the end of it, and because it seemed to be moving quite quickly, and it did. Actually, I wasn't going in the queue to see St. James. I was in the queue to go to the 10:30 solemn civic and diocesan mass.
Yes.
Which was, as it turned out, the most amazing, fantastic mistake to have made, because this was the big one.
Yes.
And did you go to it?
No, I'm very disappointed.
You went to the one right after with a mile long queue.
Yes.
Yet there was that one. We didn't get in that line because it was so long. So we went to the 1:30.
Well, I went to the 10:30 and it was brilliant.
I wanted to see that so
much. And the reason it was brilliant, well, there were several reasons. The first was that it was clearly the Spanish doing their thing, and it wasn't for pilgrims. Second was the fact that I counted 11 bishops. I've never seen 11 bishops in one place at once, anyway, and one of them was a cardinal. And so I there were military uniforms and police uniforms, and there was the local member of parliament, House of Representatives job, and they processed the most amazing silver palanquin around the place, and the music was really good. But the most important thing was that the congregation was intensely engaged. This was the mass for the believers. And although I wasn't not a Roman Catholic, I was accepted as a believer by people around me. So spiritually, it was actually it was a knockout. It was fantastic.
That's good.
And yes, they did the
the swinging of the incense. Yes.
In big style.
Yes.
Yes.
Did it make you emotional at all?
No.
You're just are happy to see it.
Happy to see it.
Yes.
What made me slightly emotional was taking the photographs of it and having the clergy looking on, because I mean, you know, I thought this is the Middle Ages. No, this is the Roman Catholic Church as it should be.
And was the king there?
Sorry?
Was the king there? I heard that he was at one of them.
No, the king was... I don't think the king was there. Was he there?
I heard from multiple people that he was at the big one.
That's why there was a lot of guards out today.
Yeah, that's and 11 bishops.
11 bishops as well.
To
be honest, I thought he was, but then the person who gave the talk wasn't the king.
Yeah, no. That's what I heard as well.
Ah,
I'm still not sure if he was there or not.
I'm not sure if he was.
I heard a lot, but
But I wouldn't be at all surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the silvery job.
Oh wow, that's beautiful.
So that's all silver. That's all.
Wow.
So I don't know, but you know, is it worth anything? I dare say it probably is, but. You know, when you see the thing swinging,
mm-hmm.
but look beyond it and see all the robes and the, you know, all the bishops.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know, that's serious churchy, isn't
it?
Yes.
Coffee or something like that? Or
actually.
Or a dessert?
Café for me.
Café con leche, por favor.
Café solo?
Okay. Solo?
Yes. What's next?
I think that we're about done. I think we're just maybe going to ask you one more question.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, don't ask it.
Okay. all right. See now. All right, so not that. that's off the table.
Sorry, do ask it.
You won't get not a requirement at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
No, you can ask anything you want, but I don't have to answer. That's the rule.
Okay, yes.
I mean, mainly what I was just thinking of asking if there was anything else you wanted to say or something that you hope people might get out of the trip that your experience could help teach other people that who might want to go on this trip as well. Does that make sense?
That's a better question.
Okay.
Marks out of 10 for your question. Marks out of 10 for your question.
Is there anything else that you want to say?
What happened after I left? That's my question.
If there is anything else that I want to say, I would not have done very well in this interview.
Thank you.
Because where I think you've... Yes, where I thought you needed to know something, I tried to inject it. So if we got to the end and I still needed to say something, I would have failed.
All right, so then we'll just ask you that one last question.
Yes.
And that's it. We'll be finished.
Is there anything else that I want to say?
No. It's fine. Yes, is there something that you would want people to know about what you've experienced from this trip that could help other people in the future if they wanted to go on this pilgrimage as well? Any advice or insight you might have?
Just do it.
Just do it.
It's a Nike slogan.
Yes.
So you can't copyright that.